All right, well, we are going to get started this evening. I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us. And Merry Christmas. All right, I heard all that through the masks and everything. We've got a wonderful group of folks joining us on the internet tonight as well. So welcome to you that have joined us for the live stream this evening. Remember, the purpose of what we do tonight, is just to take some time to set aside for this Christmas. Settle down the busyness. We're kind of settling down the room now. That's okay. It's good. We set aside some time for the busyness and the shopping and the baking and the present wrapping. We focus on the birth of our Savior. So I'd like to begin with Luke chapter 2. Tonight we plan to sing some Christmas carols, read through the Christmas story, and we'll begin with Luke chapter 2, our first reading tonight. Luke 2, verse number 4. The account begins this way. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, would you say it with me? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's stand together. Joy to the world. The Lord has come.
Joy to the world. And heaven and nature sing.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you that we could come tonight to worship you together. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus. And I pray for every believer here tonight, every man and woman and child, I pray, Lord, that we would just take time to worship you. Lord, help us to take time to lift up your name and just revel in the glory and the wonder of who you are. And then, Lord, I pray for those who may be joining us tonight who've never, they don't have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray that through the singing and through the scripture and through the proclamation of your word, Lord, I pray that their hearts would be drawn to want to know you as their Savior. So we thank you and praise you for this blessed opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our next scripture reading tonight is going to come from the book of Isaiah. For our church, this has been a familiar text because we've looked at it for the last several weeks. But let's read the prophecy that came to Isaiah. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name," would you say it? Emmanuel. Leave that verse up just for a minute. 500 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet said, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. We move forward in the Christmas story to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, and we see this prophecy fulfilled 500 years later with Mary and Joseph. In Matthew 1, beginning in verse number 20, "But while he," that's Joseph, "while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You can remain seated for this next set of songs.
Lord,
Wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Rejoices for yonder
beautiful singing?
It's wonderful.
I just feel like we should have prayer. I was just led to just worship the Lord in that song. And I asked Adam to sing it twice. Kind of was like, what is that in the schedule or not? But we only sing it once a year. And usually I lead it and totally butcher this thing. But Adam did a great job. So it's awesome. Let's pray, though. Let's ask the Lord to just bless the final passage of scripture that we're going to read tonight and the rest of our time together. Let's pray. Lord, we do realize that the night that you came incarnate, you came born of the woman, that was a holy night, a divine night. But Lord, you give us that opportunity each and every day to have a holy moment with you, to live a divine life, a life that is led by you and inspired by you because of the miracle of Emmanuel. Lord, we just pray that we would finish this service tonight by giving you our full attention. Lord, I pray that this final passage of scripture would speak to our hearts, and I pray that you'd help me with the words that I have prepared to say about it. I need your help. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would meet and move among us tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, one more passage of scripture, and that is the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. And this is not a Christmas passage per se, but many of you know we come to this often at the Christmas season. And it's the Apostle Paul really summarizing the wonder of the miracle of the birth of Christ in just a few sentences, really just one long sentence. And he says this in Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come," and could you read these next five words with me? Ready, begin. "God sent forth his son." One more time. "God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. God sent his son. Aren't you thankful that God decided to send his son into the world? That's the heart of the Christmas message. And as we said at the beginning, for a moment tonight, we've set aside the hustle and the bustle. And that's especially hard probably for all the moms out there. And I remember when I was a kid, Christmas Eve was a stressful day for mom. She would say amen back there to that. And I know it is for my wife as well, and probably all the moms. But there's the hustle and bustle, and then there's hustle and bustle for all the dads, because we didn't buy mom a Christmas present until today, probably some of us, all right? So now you can look. I can't see you. It's kind of dim out there, so I can't see if I'm getting any glares on that one. But what we decided today, just for, it's Christmas after all, so for just a little while, boys and girls, we're going to not think about all the presents and the tree and the lights, and we're going to think about Jesus. And we're going to focus on him, the fact that God sent his son. And in this passage that I want to share with you for a couple of minutes, there's some important realities that the Christmas story brings to our attention. The first thing you've got to see here is this. Do you notice the very beginning statement, "But when the fullness of the time was come"? And I just want to share with you a simple point to begin, and that is this. One thing that we learn from this passage as we come and we reflect on Christmas and the coming of our Savior is we need to learn to trust God's timing. To trust God's timing. This passage here where it says when the fullness of, it doesn't say the fullness of time, it's specific, the time, the specific time. God had a plan and God had a time that was just right for his son to come into the world. And most of what this has to do with is the prophecies. We sang about that tonight. We sang, O come, Emmanuel. And it was the idea that Israel had waited so long for Messiah to come. They'd waited generation after generation. But there was a fullness of the time. There was an appropriate time. God had timing. And Israel waited for their Messiah, and they faced a lot of difficulties, if you know the story of their nation. They had good times, but they also had bad times. And even now, after Jesus has come, the fullness of time came, Jesus was born, But then he left. And now he's asked us to wait again. Once again, we wait for his future and final coming. And can I share with you that God has a time for that as well? There's a coming time. But I thought about this fullness of time and all of the waiting that goes on. Hey, you and I, we can grow weary of waiting, can't we? We can grow weary of waiting. And sometimes the all of the waiting, and for the people of God, they were waiting for Messiah to come. But you and I, in the same way, we are waiting for God, for Jesus to return again and make things right. We've been doing a lot of waiting this year, haven't we? We've been waiting for lockdowns to end, only for them to come and to go. We're waiting right now patiently for a vaccine. There's a lot of waiting that's happened. And there's difficulty that we've even faced this year. But if there's anything that encourages me about this passage, about the birth of Christ, is God's timetable is still going according to schedule. God's timing is perfect. And let's not forget, just like the children of Israel who waited for God's time to bring their Savior, and you and I wait for the coming of the Lord, this is our time that God has given us. This day in which we live, this moment, 2020 was our year. This Christmas is the time that God has given us. And our days can be difficult. And sometimes they may be more difficult than we would even like them to be. I don't know what kinds of times that you've seen or what you're going through, but God does. You see, our days can be filled with laughter and joy and celebration, and Lord willing, that's what's going to take place in the time you have in the hours ahead. But we know our days can also be filled with sadness and fear and sickness. But no matter what time we're going through and what times we face, Christmas and the promise coming of our Lord and His future coming reminds us. It reminds us that God knows what the future holds. He's in control and our times are in His hands. He has a schedule and all things will work for His glory. And so as we wait and trust God's timing, the second thing I notice is as we wait, we've got to have faith in His plan. We've got to have faith in His plan. It's a rhetorical question, but can I ask you tonight, do you believe God's got a plan? He does. Now, I want you to see, well, what are you speaking of in this plan? Well, you notice in the verse that when the fullness of time was come, God, now look at His plan unfold. God, what did He do? He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. God had a plan. And so you could be here tonight or you could be watching and you could say, I understand. I want to believe that. I really do. I mean, it sounds good at Christmas to say that, yes, if I've been through difficulties, that just trust God, that God has a plan. That sounds good. I'd love to believe that. But it just sounds like a greeting card. It just sounds like a good feeling. Is there actually something there? What is this plan that God has? Do you know why people often get frustrated or grow impatient trying to understand God's plan? It's because they get, I'm the same way, sometimes we get confused about what God's plan really is for our lives. What is God's plan for our lives? Why are we here? And what does Christmas have to do with it? Let me give you an illustration. Tomorrow morning, or for some of us, we have Christmas Eve traditions, but Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, all of the boys and girls, what is the number one thing you are excited about as soon as you wake up in the morning? Go ahead, say it. I heard it. What is it?
Presents.
Okay, that's right. Good and loud right there. Presents. It's exciting. Now, can I say this? And in our house, I know, just like with the KOs, you've got a Christmas Eve birthday. We had a December 22nd birthday in our house, just presents everywhere. Presents and cake and goodies. Now, these are days that kids look forward to all year long, right? Count down the days till Christmas. But those of us as parents, while we enjoy that and we have a blast with that, and Let's be honest, we really live for some of those days too. We understand that Christmas morning and birthday parties are not the real purpose of our parenting. We have bigger goals. We have higher ambitions. We want to see young lives formed. But in the same way, even Christian people sometimes, we can be like kids who get a little bit confused. Sometimes we think that God's plan is to make every day like Christmas morning, to give us gifts. Our gifts are a little more grown up, things like jobs and cars and houses and all that stuff. And sometimes we think, well, the plan of God for us is to give us gifts and pleasures, smooth the bumps out of the road of life for us so that there can be smooth sailing ahead. But if you notice in this verse, it talks about God's timing and then it talks about God's plan. God's plan wasn't like that at all. God's plan for you and God's plan for me is much greater than just bringing good pleasures into our lives. You see, God's plan for us is redemption. It says that the purpose of all of this, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? What's the purpose statement? To redeem. To redeem. You see, from, you say, well, what is God's plan? Ethan, I want to believe that all of this is going to work out somehow in the troubles that we face and the difficulties. You say that God's timing is under control. God's plan is at work. Yes, from the beginning of human history, God has been working on this plan of redemption. And God has been working it out on a cosmic scale, organizing nations and people to bring his son into the world. But he's not only working it out cosmically, and you could study history, and really it's been rightly said that history is really his story. It's the story of God working in the nations and in mankind. And God, if you look at the history, God has orchestrated, as I said, even the nations and movements of the world, all arranged so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But just as God works in the cosmic realm, God is at work personally in our lives. And his plan of redemption is happening personally in your life and in my life. He is redeeming. That word redeem, it means to purchase, to buy back. Because let's face it tonight, our greatest need, the greatest need of every man, woman, and child is redemption. We don't just need a little help. We don't need a little bit of touch up. We don't need a little self-improvement. We need salvation. We need forgiveness. We need a redeemer. We need a redeemer to free us from the power of our sin. You see, in fact, it's sin that has corrupted the entire world. It starts in our hearts and in my life and in your life, the sin in our life, but then it spreads all around us. And the only hope is in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. There is a day coming, friends, when God will make a new heaven and a new earth. There's a day coming where there will be no sickness. There will be no sorrow. There is a day coming where we will live in perfection and glory with King Jesus on his throne. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a coming Redeemer. God's plan in your life and in my life is to redeem us, to buy us back, to purchase us from sin, and to bring us into relationship with him. And look at the extreme lengths that God went through to do that. I mean, think about what it took to redeem us. It says in this verse that God sent forth his son made of a woman. That God humbled himself to become a little baby. To be subject to a body like we have. And then subject to the law. And he came through his life perfect and sinless. God went to incredible measures. Why? For the purpose of redeeming us, of saving us. You've got to trust God's timing, but you've got to have faith in his plan. And his plan is the redemption of believers. And then finally, what we learn from this is if we can understand that God's timing is perfect, if we can understand that his plan of redemption is good and it's at work in our lives, then finally we can simply rest in his love. Redemption had a purpose. You see, God didn't just redeem us to kind of set us over here and say, well, you deserve punishment for your sin. You deserve judgment in hell, but I'm going to redeem you and I'm going to set you over here as a servant. That's not why he redeemed us. Now, we do serve him, of course, but he didn't redeem us to be servants. He didn't redeem us to just to kind of be hidden away from his presence. But do you see what it says in this passage? Why did he redeem us? He sent Jesus to redeem us. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, the plan of redemption is all about God's love for us. That God would say, I will pay the price for your sin. I'll be born in a manger. I'll live a perfect life. I'll go to the cross. I'll be crucified. I'll rise from the dead. Why? Not just so that you can be forgiven, but so that you can be my child. That you can be adopted into my family. You see, I can have confidence in his timing and I can have confidence in his plan if I know I'm his child. I'm his child and he loves me. And all the things that could happen, the good things, the bad things, I know that he, in his sovereign power, will work them all for his glory. Because, friend, I am redeemed. I am saved. I am chosen. I am adopted. I belong in the family of God. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the manger, but then because of the cross and then the empty tomb. In fact, it says here that there's a similar passage that you all know. It talks about God sending his son, except it says it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves you. He loves me. But we must personally choose to receive that love. It doesn't happen by accident. You're not born a Christian. You're not born a child of God. You have to be, as this passage says, adopted into the family of God. And so you might be watching tonight. You might be joining us here in person. You might say, well, I'd like that kind of love. I'd like to know that God has a plan for me. I'd like to know that I am part of God's family. What do I do? Do I get more religious? Do I do good things? Do I start doing churchy things and all of that stuff? No, you'll notice in this passage it says that God's salvation, God's love for us is not something we achieve. It is something that we receive. It's something that we receive. The Bible says, and I quoted the verse already, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, everything we've spoken about, everything that we as Christians celebrate, doesn't come to us because of our goodness. It comes to us because of his grace. It doesn't come through our religious effort. It comes by believing in Jesus Christ. So if you have received Jesus Christ, would you give him thanks tonight for his redemption? Would you allow him to continue redeeming you to different parts of your life? Would you make this year a year where God's redemption work just grows and flourishes in your life? Let his plan unfold. In fact, God's plan of redemption is actually to use believers to see other people redeemed. But if you've never been saved, if you've never personally trusted in Jesus, what better time to do it than right now? You see, as we talked about timing, only God knows how many days you or I are given. And it's important at Christmas that we also think about sober realities too. And those realities are that we are never sure of how much time any of us has. And that's why today should be the day, if you've never done this, to call on Jesus as your Savior. To repent of your sin. To say, God, I am a sinner. I don't deserve to be redeemed, but I thank you that you love me. And Jesus, I ask you to save me. I trust you and you alone. That's all that it takes. There's no prayer that's a formula, but in your heart, if in your heart you'd like to receive Christ, you can pray something like that. In fact, if you'd like to receive Jesus tonight, whether you're with me in the room or if you're watching, if you'd like to know that heaven is your home, if you'd like to know that you are saved, that you're not going to die and go to hell, but Jesus is your Savior and you'll go to heaven someday. If you'd like to know that for sure, would you pray to receive Christ with me tonight? Would you do that even this evening? I'll say a simple prayer. And if it's the belief of your heart, you can pray something like this and receive Jesus. So man or woman, boy or girl, religious or not religious, whoever you are, you can receive Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray together. If you've never received Christ and you'd like to tonight, would you do this with me? Would you pray something like this in your heart? Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe you love me. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe that he rose from the dead. And right now, I ask you to save me. I put all of my faith and all of my trust in you, Jesus, and you alone. From the heart, call out to Christ as your Savior. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much that when the fullness of the time was come, that you sent Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you came, that you lived for us, that you died for us, that you rose for us. And I pray that each of us tonight as families and as individuals would continue a heart of worship. And in all of our festivity and all of our joy and celebration, Lord, I pray that we would put you first. And I do pray for one that may be struggling and has never received you. I pray that this Christmas would be the time that they accept Jesus as their Savior. Help them make that decision, Lord. Please bless us as we conclude tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to prepare to conclude with Silent Night this evening. You should have candles in the hymnal racks in your pews. There are some extras who are coming around and passing those out. I'd invite you at home to light your candles there with us and sing along. Have children here tonight, just be careful as they hold it. Thank you.
could join with us by standing and singing Silent Night with us. This evening's service with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, as we are about to dismiss and head for our homes, journey back to our homes, we are reminded of what took place 2,000 years ago as Mary and Joseph journeyed to Bethlehem. And there in the manger, the Christ child was born, the Redeemer of all mankind. Lord, as we celebrate this holiday season, this Christmas Eve, and then tomorrow Christmas Day, we're reminded of the new birth that's available to each and every one of us. And again, I pray and ask that if there's someone here or someone who has watched online that has never called upon Jesus to be their Savior, that they'll receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life, the gift of their sins being forgiven. Thank you again for your great love. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. Watch over us now as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray all these things. Amen.